This past week, I was talking with someone, and they mentioned to me that they were painting their house. Not the inside, but the outside. And I thought that they were a little crazy painting their house in July in Florida in the heat of the summer. But it triggered a memory that I had of a time when I was painting outside in July in Florida. And it was a time that I was on a mission trip with the youth at the church that I was serving at Cocoa Beach. And I went with the group, and we were serving in alongside First United Methodist Church of Pahokee. So we were in the Pahokee area doing some painting, and we had the opportunity to work on the outside of a house that needed some painting. And then we also worked on painting inside at the church in one of the rooms that they had. Now, I'm used to seeing people after they paint with some of it on their clothes, but I wondered in the moment when I was with this youth group if they had put more on themselves or if they had left any on the walls that they had been painting, that they got so much on them. They were beyond filthy, and so they had to go change. We were getting ready to then go out and just give popsicles out in the community, but we had to get in the church bus, and they had to change before they could get into the church bus with all this paint all over them. I know at our house, we get a little dirty from doing yard work, maybe doing a little pressure washing every once in a while. We have to do that sort of work, and we get pretty dirty. And it would not be acceptable then to go sit on the couch inside with those dirty clothes on. But instead, we change clothes out of the old and into something new. And that is the thought behind our scripture today in discovering, who am I? We're continuing to ask ourselves that. Who am I from the book of Ephesians? And today we will discover I am a new person. We have been created new. So let me read these words to you from Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have been giving themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practicing every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This comment from Paul in the first part of this sounds as though it's in contrast to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the Gentiles and how he was saying that the Jews and the Gentiles were now to be one, to come together, to be reconciled to one another, no longer hating one another, but at peace instead with each other. Some, though, this is different in the way he is talking about the Gentiles here, because some of the Gentiles still were not believers yet. And they continued living in the old way. The old way that was apart from God, living outside of relationship with God and outside of the will and the calling of God. And they said they practiced futility in their thinking. Things that they thought about, that they did were pointless. They didn't produce anything of worth. Their thoughts were without purpose. They wasted time, made no significant for themselves or for the world. They were not open to God, but completely closed themselves off because it said their hardness of heart. They were not open to that relationship and the movement of God in their lives. Verse 19 went as far as to describe them as callous. If you've gotten a callus before, you know that calluses are hard, inflexible, unmovable. They're painful. They were not pliable, but set in their ways, practicing in greed and in purity. Now, one translation uses the word licentiousness, which is really a tongue twister for me, which means they completely disregard moral character. They did not practice any restraint at all. They just did whatever they wanted to do, no matter how it would affect anyone else around them. no matter if it was good or bad. They were just completely selfish. So they were not willing for God to take them as a piece of clay and to mold them and to make them and to reshape them and to create in their lives as he continually has the desire to do, to continually create within us. Well, that was not the way that they had been taught in Christ or the way in which they were to live anymore. They put off that old self, the corrupt and deceitful way of living, instead now live this new life given to them by knowing Christ, by being made new in him. Paul wrote about this in a letter to the Galatians also. So I can see that there's a theme going in these churches that he's planted, in these churches that he's continuing to write letters of encouragement and teaching to. So here's what he says to the Galatians. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And so here's some very specific things about what Paul is bringing up to the church in Galatians about things that they do that are of the old life that they're supposed to be leaving behind. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the alternative. Here's this new life, this new self that we put on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He goes on then to the church in Colossians, to the people of Colossae. And he wrote this to them, but put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And so here's his list to them: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self. That's our opportunity that we have in Christ. We just get to take off the old self, which hinders us. It says, with its practices, and put on the new self. And here's his vision to the church in Colossians and to us of this new self that we get to put on. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Just as I heard Paul's love for the people in last week's text when he was praying for them and wanting and hoping for them to grasp just how much God loved them, how high and wide and deep and long, how large God's love was for them. I hear it in these verses, too, to these different churches wanting so badly for them to live fully into this new life that God has for them in Christ. These two ways of living, the old and the new, they are in contrast to one another. And Paul is calling the people then and us now to leave behind those old ways and to be the new creations that God has the power to create. This is radical change. They weren't being called to make some little tweaks in their life, but to make significant shifts in their way of thinking and their way of living. The old selfish way is to be left behind, and now they are to love God, to love neighbor. That is the life that God has for them, the new life, a new person. The all-time best illustration, just in my opinion, of this that I can find is in the book of Luke, in the 19th chapter, and we hear about Zacchaeus. He is like my new person hero. I've heard this story since I was a child, but as an adult, it's really come to grow to be one of those things that I aspire to live like. This man who was once a chief tax collector, right? wealthy because he had collected the taxes. And not only had he collected the taxes, but he had collected extra for himself so that he could be wealthy, that he could have things for himself. But the day Jesus came to town, he was drawn to see Jesus. As Jesus approached him, Zacchaeus was called to come down from the tree that he had had to climb so that he could see Jesus. And then Jesus went to his house that day. And Zacchaeus, it says, experienced salvation that day. He became a new person. He lived fully into it by making radical changes in his life. Instead of continuing as a chief tax collector, continuing to draw funds from people, continuing to be wealthy at the expense of other people, he was this new creation. He took off the old self. He put on this new self. He gave half of all of his possessions to the poor. And those that he had cheated, he paid back four times the amount that he had cheated from them. This is the kind of shift, the change in life that God is calling us to have in Jesus Christ. Taking off the old and putting on the new that makes us a completely new person in Christ. As a new person, we were created, it says in Ephesians 4:24, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You can't do that without living radically different than the old way. So in this life in Christ, there is some responsibility, there's some intention, there's action that is our part. You see, it's a relationship. A relationship, so we have to recognize that as a new person, there are choices that we have to make. These new ways of living. We live, as it says in the beginning of this chapter in Ephesians 4, live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Live a life worthy, it says. A life that's righteous and holy. You were created, it says. You were created to be like God. I think that might be the third time that I've read those words from the passage, but I think it's important. I think it's important that I continue saying them to you, that you continue to hear them and allow them to sink into who you are, into your being. You were created to be like God. So if you're wondering, who am I? You are a new person. And you are created to be like God, righteous and holy. You don't have to take off the old self and put on the new. You get to. So let's transform those words. You get to take off the old self and to put on the new, created to be like God. You get to love the unlovable. You get to feed the hungry. You get to heal the sick. You get to free the oppressed. You get to cross racial barriers that have been set up. You get to lift up the lowly. You can welcome in the stranger. You can even love your enemy. You can say to them in your prayer time to God, you can say, Father, forgive them. But they do not know what they are doing. Because you see, we were created to be like God, a new person, in true righteousness and holiness. So I ask you today, what does that mean to you? Who are you? What do these words from the book of Ephesians mean to you? For you? For the world? Pray together. Lord God, I thank you for these words in your scripture that Paul wrote centuries ago, but they're words that you have offered to us. As you are continuing to mold us and make us into who we are. From this time of worship, Lord, we say we are yours. That is who we are. We are yours. And we don't know all about what that means. I mean, what does that mean? And so we're in this book of Ephesians. We're in this sermon series. We're in worship together to learn and to grow in our relationship with you and with one another. And so today we've heard these words from you. We say we long to live the life worthy of the calling. That our desire, Lord, is to be like you. Righteous and holy. So come into us at this time and create. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, I see we have two more prayer bracelets. So if you did not get one yet and you meant to get one, I'll have them after worship. But you are invited, of course, whether you have a prayer bracelet or not, you are, of course, invited. And I hope that you will be in prayer for that mission team that is going to Kenya in this next week. They leave on Tuesday and they'll be gone for 12 days. So a long time. So we want to keep them in our prayers. I like the line in that song, open my eyes to your wonder. And I think as we're allowing God to make us into new creations, we just have to let his wonder do what his wonder can do. It may seem impossible to us that we could be like God, that we could be righteous and holy, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. How can I be righteous and holy like God? But in God's wonder and God's creativeness, in God's power, we are made indeed into these new creations. So go as God's creations in his image, in his likeness, and go and love the world as he loved the world. Amen. Amen.